It's time for a good old blast from the past. Yes.
Well, if you two guys just have yourself a good time reminiscing about the good old days.
Throwback vibes are occurring on thingsdanssays.net.
Different voice on the throwback vibes intro, and a different throwback vibes, if we're being completely honest, on thingsdanssays.net. It is January of 2015, the third Thursday of the month, I think this is going to be.
Yes.
And we are back for us for another year of throwback
vibes. Throwback vibesing.
Nuts. I think I caught your throwback vibes virus, as it were. Last month, you were the ones that was on here, and you were sick out of your mind. And this year, I sound like Bret Hart when he tries to talk for a period of time. I know how he feels.
Slightly
now.
Less nasally, though.
Yeah, and I'm not as upset with Shawn Michaels.
Well, I think the beef with Shawn Michaels is done. It's the other one that he's upset with now.
Who's the other one he's mad
at? The other degenerate.
Oh, that's right. For some reason, he's upset with that guy.
Yeah.
I guess they never squashed their beef.
No, they never did.
Rumor has it Triple H was trying to squash the beef, but he tore his quad while he was doing it, so.
See? Yeah.
That one is a joke.
And Bret Hart didn't want to take responsibility for the injury because, you know, he never injures anybody.
By the way, speaking of Shawn Michaels, if you're a drinker out there, and for us, I know you are not, but if you want to get really drunk really fast, take a shot or take a drink every time Shawn Michaels says, "Oh, God," in one of his matches. Shawn Michaels and Ric Flair, and when they wrestle each other, I don't know if I'm watching a wrestling match or a church proceeding.
Shawn Michaels also likes the word, ah.
Ow! And ow. Yeah. He just blatantly says, ow. Like, ow, yeah. That hurts. Ow. If I were a wrestler, I would sell in, like, the most obvious way. Like, I would just yell, like, ow, he's working over my leg.
That hurts.
My leg is becoming progressively worse. There was the reason we're talking about selling is because this month on Throwback Vibes, we witnessed a rivalry that was composed of a lot of selling, a lot of masterful selling from two of the most masterful sellers in the selling game. For those who were foolish enough to not listen to last month's Throwback Vibes.
Or to follow me on Twitter.
Or to follow you on the Twitter, which is a very foolish thing to do.
Because if you do follow me, I will give you little spoilers and little hints of what I'm watching for Throwback Vibes.
It was the Hansel and Gretel syndrome, where you scattered little breadcrumbs across the Twitter timeline. And as you did so, I was able to put together what we're doing here. Do you hear Diesel?
Diesel's coming.
We're getting a Kevin Nash running on this show.
Well, he is a friend of Shawn Michaels. So.
That's true. He is a friend. Did you know Vince Verhey, who writes for Figure Four Weekly and does the Brian and Vinny show with Brian Alvarez, he's a large fat man. And when he used to wrestle, his theme music was just that sound on a loop as he walked to the ring.
Oh, that would be annoying.
It's just funny because you hear that and then there's a big fat guy. I think that's awesome. Anyway, why don't you give the people a little bit of background on what we've decided to do this year on Throwback Vibes, as opposed
okay,
to
this,
recapping.
Last year, we basically tortured ourselves. Yes. Dez especially.
But if I didn't torture myself for nothing, damn it. So go back into the archives and listen to every Throwback Vibes from last year if you haven't. We go in order.
Minus the ECW ones, because they were awful shows.
Sure. But if you want to be an expert in 1998, just go back and listen to last year's Throwback Vibes.
Throwback Vibes. Some of them were very good, actually.
Some of them were pretty bad.
Some of them were pretty bad, mainly because we gave up on life.
Yeah. I think like in August, I was done with life.
But yes, we tortured ourselves last year. So this year, and we planned this like months in advance.
Oh, dude, we've been talking about this since before I think we started last year.
Yeah.
Throwback Vibes.
So what we decided to do is do... In our opinion, this isn't just like what everybody in the world thinks is the greatest rivalries or best rivalries. In our opinion, our favorite rivalries. And I'm sure we're going to do one show in this year where we do the worst.
I'm sure we will.
Rivalries. But for now, we're going to do the greatest rivalries that we think should be mentioned. And we're not going to do your obvious Austin Rock, Austin McMahon, Bret and Shawn type thing.
Although we may, it depends how we feel.
Yeah, although we may. Depends how we feel. And we'll do some obvious ones. But we're going to try and keep it culturally relevant and things that we think impacted on the wrestling world quite big, quite
And also just things that tickle us personally.
Yes, you, like this one.
Yeah. You know, and by you, I mean the listener. You know both myself and Faraz pretty well by this point. I think we've been through a lot together.
We have.
And
ups and downs.
We've had our ups and downs, but you know us. And I think when you hear what rivalries we're doing throughout the year, I think you'll pretty much have a good idea of who picked what.
Pretty much. Although this one is a unanimous one.
Yeah, this one, I think, actually, this was the entire reason we're doing this, believe it or not. Because I just wanted to
talk about
it. For some
reason, we're talking about this feud a year ago or whatever. I'm like, right, we need to discuss this.
Yeah, we need to dedicate a show to it. And then you're like, we should dedicate 12 shows to 12 different things. And that's usually how the think tank works here at the website.
Pretty much. We come up with an idea and then I try and expand on it a little bit. And then Des tells me no, but I do it anyway.
Yes. Or sometimes I just get too lazy and I purposely forget about the idea.
Until I bring it up again.
It's happened a lot. I think that might have happened with Throwback Vibes, to be honest. We should have started with Throwback Vibes for the year anyway.
Right. So this year, we're going to start with...
What are we starting with? The first of 12 great rivalries that we enjoy.
Feud of the year, as voted by the Observer newsletter. Fact. This is a fact. Chris Jericho told me so.
Thank you, Tyson.
No worries. Chris Jericho told me so in his book, which, by the way, you can now buy on the Amazon.
You can. The best in the world at what? I have no idea. By Chris Jericho and Peter Fornatale.
Yes. But you know the best way to buy it, Des? The best way to buy it is if you go to www.thingsdessays.net, our beloved website, and you can click on the thing that says, click here!
Click here!
And it'll take you to the Amazon.com that you know and love, and you can buy all three Chris Jericho books if you want to.
Yes, the epic trilogy.
Yes, and you can also buy Shawn Michaels' Heartbreak and Triumph if you wanted to, which is an interesting read.
And you can get ready to buy his new book, which is coming out at some point.
Yes, which I am looking forward to immensely. I hope there's an audiobook and he reads it, just for my own personal amusement.
Oh, God. Oh, God!
Exactly.
That would be great. Yeah, and you can buy the Chris Jericho audiobook. He's not reading it, but I'm sure the chap that is a nice fellow. Why not?
Yeah, I'm sure
he
encapsulates Chris Jericho's character and does it well.
I, at least he's not like the guy. One time I listened to Kurt Angle's audiobook.
Oh, God.
And the guy that read it continually referred to Chris Benoit as Chris Benoit.
Like Jericho. He had Jericho syndrome.
Yeah.
Yes, but the rivalry we are doing.
Oh, yeah.
Is the feud of the year of 2008, as voted for by the Observer newsletter. Also had the match of the year in 2008. Also the reason that Vince McMahon decided never to use blood again on TV.
Yeah, that's pretty landmark. It's 2015 and that edict still stands.
Yes. We are doing the feud that started in 2003. Well, actually 2002 if you want to be technical about it. Chris Jericho versus the Heartbreak Kid Shawn Michaels. And what a feud it was.
What a feud it was. Yeah, it started back in 2003, which was...
The Mania 19, but the build started back in the December of 2002.
Right.
And pretty much the story of the build to the Mania 19 match was anything Shawn Michaels could do, Chris Jericho could do better. Because if you don't know the story of Chris Jericho, let me fill you in. Chris Jericho grew up idolizing Shawn Michaels. That's not a storyline thing. That's actually true. Shawn Michaels was Chris Jericho's hero. So what better way to bring this storyline together than doing things like Chris Jericho entering the 2003 Royal Rumble at number one and trying to win it. He didn't, by the way. So, do you remember who won the 2003 Rumble, Des?
The 2003 Rumble, was it...
And it wasn't the guy who can't be named, I think.
What was the main event in 2003? No, I know he won. 2004. What was the... Was it Goldberg?
He was a young lad back then.
Oh. It was my... Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's the only year he could have won it.
Correct.
Was now Brock Lesnar.
Yes, the beast incarnate.
Back then known simply as Brock Lesnar.
Or the next big thing.
He added those R's and L's later.
And it was weird, because we're probably going to go on a few tangents, because we're going to probably talk about what's going on in the WWE at the time. But Brock Lesnar was a babyface in that Rumble.
That's after Heyman turned on him, right?
Yes. Lesnar was a babyface at that Rumble.
Which is really awkward, considering... He came in April of 2002.
He turned on him in November 2002.
By then he was already what, a two-time champion?
No, one time.
Okay, by then he was a champion. He had lost it
because of Heyman.
And then he goes into the Rumble and he wins the Rumble all in less than a year.
It was one of those years. I think Del Rio had a similar year back when he started. It was kind of like that, but Brock Lesnar was so much better.
Yeah, I was very similar, I think, but Del Rio got much less of a reaction.
Yes, Del Rio didn't work with the fans as well as Brock Lesnar did. He didn't resonate. I mean, come on, look at who Brock Lesnar beat in his... the Hardys had to... He needed to squash people, so the Hardys were one. Then he won the King of the Ring in 2002.
He also did that. Jesus.
He beat Rob Van Dam twice, right? Then he beat Hogan.
Yeah, I was going to mention that. Yeah, he beat Hogan. He was going to beat Austin.
He was going, yeah. And then Austin had a fit, you know, a little bit of a crybaby moment.
Which he admits today is a mistake.
So I can say it without getting myself into Austin trouble.
Believe me, you don't want to get into Austin trouble. I've been listening to those Lumosity commercials.
Yeah.
I don't want to get him mad.
But no, then he beats The Rock at SummerSlam.
Yeah.
To win the title. And then he goes on this, he has this really good feud with The Undertaker.
Yeah.
And wins one of the most brutal Hell in a Cell matches I think I've ever seen.
Yeah, that dude didn't stop, did he? He just kept getting pushed. So anyway, he wins the Rumble and Jericho doesn't.
Jericho does not. However, the feud between Shawn Michaels and Chris Jericho continues to grow. You know, the animosity begins to spill over. Chris Jericho is playing an amazing heel at this point. Just doing anything he can to get into Shawn Michaels' head. And you got to remember,
this was still the Y2J character, so he was being more of like an evil, not evil, but more like a conniving chicken shit.
Kind of being an ass clown. Right, let's put it that way.
That stereotypical the coward heel.
Yes.
A complete 180 from what Jericho would be like 5 years.
Yeah. And you got to remember also that this is the first year that Shawn Michaels was doing WrestleMania for what, 5 years?
Yeah.
He hadn't done anything. You know, he took the 4 years off, came back, did the match with Triple H, won the title at Survivor Series in the first ever Elimination Chamber match, lost it, and then went into this feud with Jericho. And I think another thing people realize that Shawn Michaels wasn't meant to do this many dates. He was meant to do a couple, like one off, and then do a couple more, and that's it.
And he ended up wrestling for...
full time.
8 years full time?
Yeah, pretty much. Phenomenal. Awesome. But WrestleMania was built on this match. There were three matches it was built on. This match, the match that no one cares about, which was Triple H and Booker T, which is a shame because it was an all right match, to be fair.
Yeah.
And Brock Lesnar versus Kurt Angle, which was a great match, apart from the botch.
But that botch will be remembered forever.
It will, actually.
Forever. Wow. I sound really cool when I'm sick and I do that voice.
Yeah. That's sound like a younger Vince McMahon.
That's my man voice. I'm not going to do it anymore. Right. So they built up this WrestleMania match, and it was a pretty... I mean, it's a dynamic that was good, but it had been done in the past.
It had been done in the past. I mean, that's what the whole thing, the Bret and Owen was built on, wasn't it?
Right.
And that's basically how the Bret and Shawn thing was built, if you think about it. The WrestleMania 12 match, anyway. Not the rest of it.
Sure. So you get to this match. They went on there, and they basically stole the show.
They went on there and tore it down.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone was assuming that the Brock Lesnar-Kurt Angle match would be the one that everyone remembers, but I don't. And maybe it's because I'm a Shawn Michaels fan.
And that was also the WrestleMania with Austin's last match, was it not?
Yes, Austin and Rock. 3.
The Epic Trilogy.
The Epic Trilogy concluded. This match went on in the middle of the show. It was like, and bear in mind, WrestleMania wasn't 4 hours. It was still the 3.
Oh, that's right. They were still doing 3 hours.
So this went on like halfway through, like at the top of the first hour. And they went out there, 54,000 people, which is kind of ridiculous because we're used to 80,000 people now.
Yeah, yeah. I don't accept anything with more than 60,000 people in it.
Yeah, 54,000.
I laugh at your meager 54,000.
Exactly. But they tore it up. And it was a wrestling match. And I remember, and King kind of referenced it at the beginning. They started off with wrestling maneuvers.
Yeah, because it wasn't a blood feud at this point. It was just... them wanting to wrestle and see who's better. And they did. And it was very good.
Complete with many counters. There was one sequence where they both had each other in the pinning predicaments and counter after counter. Just a wonderful exchange.
They did that where they just kept trading pins and stuff. That was cool.
You had obviously, at this point, they were still harping on the fact that Michaels had been out for 4 years in the back. So Jericho obviously did a lot of work on the back.
Yeah, that's one thing I noticed about Shawn Michaels. He sold his back for like 3 years.
Yeah.
He just kept selling it. And then even after that, they would have the occasional matches where they would bring it up in the backstory. But when he first came back, he was selling his back for like 3 straight years.
It's like, all right, we know you're back strong now. You've been back here for how long? Yeah,
you've been wrestling for this long and you haven't had to take time off yet. I think you're fine.
But Shawn Michaels can sell anything.
Yes, he can.
That's the thing.
Yeah, as we get deeper into this rivalry, because Shawn Michaels, man, is awesome.
But this match was, and it was meant to be just a one-off. We didn't think we'd see any more of it. Shawn Michaels, I think he had to win this match. Because, you know, it was the comeback match for WrestleMania. I don't think they've started using the Mr. WrestleMania name at this point.
And it was the end of their feud, really.
Yeah.
They were done for that.
They were done.
That time.
I do like the end though. Shawn Michaels won with a roll up, which is fine.
He won with a wrestling move in a match where they were trying to prove who the better wrestler was. I appreciated that.
And then you had the moment where Shawn tried to give Jericho a hug or a handshake, and Jericho low blowed him, and Shawn Michaels slid down like he'd been hurt. Yeah. He broke his heart, bless him.
Just to leave it open.
And JR was wonderful.
Yeah. And they rematched a few months later on Raw. So
watched this match and you were, and it was weird because it wasn't JR announcing it.
No, it wasn't. It was Jonathan Coachman, which is weird.
All King did throughout this whole match was say, JR wouldn't say that.
Yeah. I don't know what the storyline was at that point.
That was the point where JR got burnt.
Yeah. I realized that, but I don't know what the storyline was of King just going, JR wouldn't do that. JR wouldn't do that.
I think Coach was trying to get him to the announce team, and he was using different varying tactics, but, you know, still pretending to be a good guy.
Hmm.
You know, they had that feud with King and JR and weird announce team of Al Snow and Jonathan Coachman.
That is weird.
Yeah.
So anyway, Michaels and Jericho rematched on Raw. They had a great match on Raw.
It was phenomenal. It was in LA, which, you know, a few years later, I'm sure Dez would have been there.
I can't remember recently just having like a great long match on Raw.
And bear in mind, Raw was only 2 hours at this point. This went three segments, I think.
Yeah, these were the good days, man. We're like,
old days.
In 2003, you still had a lot of runoff from the Attitude Era. So you had a lot of shit.
Yeah.
But you also had really good long matches like this on a weekly basis.
I think this main evented as well. So, oh no, it didn't, because Kane was meant to be doing something. Sorry.
Oh, but yeah, he was gonna apologize for burning JR.
Yeah. But it went for 3 segments on a 2 hour roll. That's long.
That is long. So they did the match, and they had a bunch of, well, they had like 2 run-ins. It was a weird match, because the reality was it wasn't really an important match.
It wasn't building to anything.
It was a backdrop to something else.
Yeah.
Because I think at that point, Michaels was feuding with Evolution, right?
Evolution and Ric Flair mainly.
He was feuding with Ric Flair and this young no-name called Randy Orton.
He's not going to amount to anything.
He would never amount to anything, that fool. So it ended with... This is the thing, too. Today on Raw, I know I'm just going to end up using this whole show as a vehicle to make fun of the modern product, but it's true.
That's fine.
Today on Raw, you would get a run-in, and it would be a disqualification, or it would be an immediate distraction, and the babyface would get screwed.
Yeah.
Back this match, Shawn Michaels had to get screwed like 3 times before he actually lost.
And he did. It's not like, it wasn't because of him getting screwed that he actually lost.
That's right. It was all of those things together that built to him losing. Because not only did Shawn Michaels get attacked, not only did he get attacked by 3 different guys, and then not only was Chris Jericho holding on to the turnbuckle, but also Shawn Michaels had that history of a hurt back. And it was all of those things together that forced Shawn Michaels not only to lose, but to tap out. In this
and not only
encounter.
Did he tap out, it wasn't like he tapped out straight away. He fought.
That's right. They made him so strong in losing in this match that it almost meant more if he had won. It meant more than if it would have if he won.
Yeah.
That was great, great booking. I have not seen that in years in this company.
I don't know whether it was because it's Shawn Michaels, whether his influence had something to do with it. I doubt it.
I fully believe so. Shawn was not a very nice person. Even when he came back, he was still very political.
Yes, he was very political. He only really wanted to put his friends over.
But it was still great. So I support this political move.
And to be fair, if Sean liked you and he wanted to put you over, he would do everything he could to get you over.
That's why, life lesson, if you're listening and you don't know about life, be nice to everyone, because you never
especially know. Especially Sean Michaels.
Yeah, you never know when you're going to have a Sean Michaels in your life who's going to want to make you look good.
Although he did give CM Punk a break, to be fair, and they never had a match. Although if they did, oh.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
I'm trying to think of what that would be like. Well, you Shawn don't Michaels think they ever worked CM on Punk? Like a house show?
They might have done. Hmm. When CM Punk was on Raw.
Yeah, back when he didn't mean anything.
Yeah, they might have done. I doubt it, though. I don't know how many house shows Sean was doing at the time.
That's true. I'm not sure what his house show schedule was like. Anyway. So they have this great match on Raw, and I can't tell you how much I love that finish. It was such a good finish.
Well orchestrated, well done. And yeah, Jonathan Coachman trying to be a baby face was just cringeworthy.
Go watch that match. It's good.
Yes, and you'll also find out who the official sandwich was.
Oh, yeah, the official sandwich of WrestleMania 20.
Yeah, 20.
And apparently, what was it? The Snickers was the official candy bar. Snickers Crunch.
Yeah, and Subway was the official sandwich. Which makes you wonder, what was the official drink? It must have had an official drink.
Let's see, 2003, or 2004.
Vanilla Coke?
Oh, probably was Vanilla Coke. Oh, or Coke Lime.
Ugh, no.
Or Pepsi Twist. I remember that.
See, that might have been it.
That was Pepsi with a lemon twist.
I'm not sure about that.
It was okay. It was Sprite, basically.
Pretty much, yeah.
Anyway, so they finish off the rematch from WrestleMania 19, and then these guys go in very different directions over the next
very different
years.
Directions. Shawn Michaels goes in, well, he feuds with everybody, pretty much.
Yeah, including
Benoit.
Including starting an illustrious tag team with God at one point.
Oh, yes, that too. Reformed DX.
He did? That was a Spirit Squad thing, right?
Yeah.
So he fights the Spirit Squad.
And reforms DX, and then feud with the McMahons for 16 years.
Yeah, oh my God. I remember this. I remember watching and just wondering, when is this going to end?
Also feuds with Rated RKO. Remember that tag team? Yeah.
Yeah, that's where it gets fuzzy for me. I stopped watching for a while.
Yeah, Triple H tears his quad. And then Shawn goes on this amazing kind of, he has a little break in between, but he has this, before he leaves, he has this amazing feud with John Cena.
Yes, for the WrestleMania match, including...
For the WrestleMania match, which I think people forget.
Including a Raw that you were at.
In London, where they had a TV time limit match of 1 hour. And it wasn't a boring 1 hour.
No, it was a very good 1 hour.
Yes. Actual time was about 36 minutes, I think.
Well,
there you go.
It's wrestling, you know.
Yeah.
So,
who's going to...
And then he leaves... And
he comes back and has a little feud with Orton.
Yes.
Has a feud with Orton. And then this is going to bring a tear to Desmond's eye.
Every time I watch this match, I have to fight tears, legit. I'm talking about it and I'm getting a little misty-eyed.
Yeah. He has a feud with the legendary Ric Flair, which is his retirement feud. Well, quote unquote.
Right. Considering what happened later. But yes, this was the retirement feud and that match. That to me is a classic.
It is a classic. I think it's a WrestleMania moment.
Oh boy, is it ever!
And again, it's one of those where if Shawn wants to, and let's be honest, and you're not going to Dez and they're like, Flair wasn't great around this time,
right?
He wasn't the Ric Flair of old, but Shawn Michaels made him look like he was in 1983.
Shawn took care of them.
He did. Well, they are friends, so he would, wouldn't he?
That's true. Shawn Michaels was busy retiring an icon, Chris Jericho was having a different time of things.
He left a bitter man, didn't he, in 2005?
He left, he kind of fell down the card, and I started watching as he was, like, slowly falling down the card. But it wasn't like today, where you'd fall down the card, 1 week you're the world champion, and then, like, a month later you're on the Superstars. This was like... He never completely became obscure. He was still wrestling, having good matches on TV. He was just not in the main event picture.
He was basically demoted to the Intercontinental title status.
Basically.
Which at the time had the likes of, well, Edge had just come back, so he was in it.
Yeah, you had Edge, you had Christian, had Jericho involved. Who else was there?
Shelton Benjamin and them.
Oh, that's right. Shelton Benjamin was there. Charlie Haas, guys like that. Although at that point, I think Charlie Haas was on SmackDown.
Charlie Haas was on SmackDown. Benjamin was getting a slight push at this point.
Yeah. And then Jericho, quote-unquote, invented Money in the Bank. Remember that?
Yes, he quote unquote invented Money in the Bank.
2005.
Had a feud with Cena.
This is
just
where
before
I think,
he left.
This is where I think Jericho's bitter. I don't even know if it's bitterness, but his discontent with the situation. I think this is where it starts because he's feuding with Cena, and I mean they did a lot with it, but I think they could have done more.
Oh, they could have done a lot more. But you know what I think didn't help? And people are going to say I'm being ridiculous because if anybody deserved a push, it was Christian at the time. However, comma, it didn't help Chris Jericho any.
The reality of it was I think they were supposed to do Cena and Christian, and then Vince got cold on it, and so he just switched to Jericho. Because if you remember, they had that three-way.
Yes, they did have the three-way.
And said, nope.
I don't think the dynamic worked. I don't think Christian was as over.
Well, that's true. But that was more
Vince thought.
That was more of a self-fulfilling prophecy, though, because Vince never liked Christian.
And to be fair, and Ed just said it when we watched the DVD, Christian's dedication was slightly eh.
Well.
And he was on his way to TNA, so.
Well, he was, but at that point, he was, I think the way they treated him in the Cena feud was what made him want to go to TNA.
Yes.
Because here's a guy who had a position to fight one of the top stars and get some great matches out of him, and I think they did one. And then they said, all right, let's go to Jericho.
Let's go to Jericho. It was a backup plan. And Jericho, he did what he could with it. Because the way Cena debuted in 2005 on Raw was on the highlight reel.
Yes, he did.
With one of the most amazing ovations I think I've heard on Raw in a long time.
It was nuts. That was at a point, again, appreciating the brand split when it mattered.
Yes, the brand split was at its peak around 2004, 2005, because it meant something.
I love
you
that
had
shit.
SmackDown pay-per-views and you had Raw pay-per-views.
Yeah.
There was genuine competition there between the two.
And then when they came together, like at Survivor Series, like when they would just have the vignettes and you would have like SmackDown guys and Raw guys, it was exciting. It was cool. It was like, these guys.
Because they only brought them together for the big four.
Yeah, it was exciting times.
But that, Jericho left and started this little rock band.
Yeah, this rock
called
band
Fozzy.
Called Fozzy, and he did that. And
came back in what? Was it late 2007? With the Save Us gimmick.
Now, do you remember this? Because this is, to me, one of my most vivid memories at the time. I really wasn't following wrestling on the internet or
neither was I,
learning
to be
those things. I just watched, and I really liked it. And
I think I figured out it was Jericho, though.
I can remember. I knew it was Jericho because those codes and stuff were very Jericho. And
I think one actually said Y2J or something, so it kind of gave it away
if
you looked carefully enough.
And I remember thinking at the time, even though I didn't have the jaded mind of a wrestling fan, I remember thinking, this is going on a little too long, this campaign.
Was it? It was a good 3, 4, 5, it was about 6 months, wasn't it?
Yeah, and it was cool because at first they started with it and it was very subtle. Like you would have the announcers and they would be like talking over graphics like they do and just like very discreetly, you would have the Save Us 222 things.
Yeah, yeah.
And eventually got progressively more over time. But I thought that was a great, really cool thing.
Tried to reproduce it since then. It just doesn't work because we've all realized, it's Jericho.
I remember watching his actual return.
Yeah, me too, with the Randy Orton thing.
Yeah, I remember watching that over and over again. I thought that was so awesome.
But he didn't enjoy it.
Apparently from his book, because we started reading his book to get a little insight into the Shawn Michaels feud, and apparently he wasn't too stoked with it.
Yeah, the crowd didn't seem and I've gone back and watched it. I went back and watched it last week. The crowd seemed into it to me.
Yeah, that's not I don't remember that at all. I remember the crowd being really into him.
Yeah, me too.
So that was weird.
Yeah, it was, and he seemed to think that he wasn't getting as over as he was when he left, but I thought, you know, the fans genuinely remembered him with fondness.
Yeah, they remembered him fondly, but to be fair, the first night they did, and then I think about a month later, once he started feuding with Bradshaw.
Yeah, that kind of faded.
He was just a guy. And I remember by like WrestleMania, I was like, all right,
he needs to do something else.
He's just a dude. Poor Jericho.
Yeah, he's just a guy.
I remember feeling bad. I was like, well, all right, man, he just came back and he's already this guy.
Yeah. I mean, he had the feud with Orton, which is great because Orton needed someone to feud with because obviously they did the Michaels thing. Triple H had just come back.
Yeah.
No Cena.
That's right. 2008 was when he came back and won, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So no Cena. Yeah, they needed somebody.
And Jeff was just just now then getting his push.
What you get is baffling as to why they didn't bring him back sooner if Cena was out and they needed a babyface.
Well, the thing is, Cena got injured in October and they thought he was going to be out for 6 months, so he was going to miss Mania anyway, but Cena's powers of recovery are ridiculous.
He's a crazy man.
Yeah. I also like the story in Jericho's book of when they went to Iraq.
Yeah, Jeff Hardy likes to swim in toxic lakes.
Toxic lakes?
Yeah.
Weird, strange human being.
I think that the thing that Jericho brings up in his book is that he was doing the same character as before he left.
In 2007, that you would left, yeah.
In fact, the same character that he's doing again now. And I think the fact that he's gone back to the Y2J character, to me anyway, is pretty much proof positive that he doesn't foresee another big run in WWE. He's just going to be there to put guys over
I think he enjoys that to a certain... If he's put with the right people, this is.
Yeah.
The Fandango stuff didn't work.
It was shitty. He tried to put Fandango over.
He tried.
Over, but it's... He's a ballroom dancer, you know? Like, that's something straight out of the 90s. He's a ballroom dancer.
It's not going to work for Chris Jericho. That's why the thing with Bray Wyatt could have worked.
I like that. I like Bray Wyatt. That'd be a good gimmick.
Bray Wyatt.
Bray Wyatt. You need to touch him to understand what he's saying.
Yeah. The Bray Wyatt gimmick could have worked, but didn't. The Dolph Ziggler gimmick, when they did a little bit with Dolph, that worked. Because it made sense.
I don't remember that.
It was good.
Okay.
You were there, damn it.
I'm sure I was.
No, you were there. You were actually in the Staples Center, you idiot.
Oh, yeah, when they opened
SummerSlam.
Yeah, that was good. That's right.
You were legitimately there.
I forgot when Dolph was a heel. I forgot about that because he's such a good baby face, man.
You were there.
And then they beat him. I remember that. Jericho actually won.
Jericho actually won, which was a surprise because he was leaving a couple of days after.
Yeah. But anyway, we're getting ahead of ourselves here.
We are. Anyway, Shawn Michaels had a little thing with Batista, which is where this all started.
Okay, so he retires Ric Flair. Yeah. And first, I love... we talked to Nigel McGuinness the other day about LA Fights, which is his documentary project. And one of the things he says that he wants to do with it... It's not a documentary, it's a TV show. I keep calling it a documentary. But one of the things he wants to do with the TV show is he wants realistic, organic... Organic was a key word there. Organic storylines.
I think this was one of them.
This is probably one of the most organic storylines in WWE. Because even like the good storylines that we watch that have happened in WWE, to a degree have been forced.
Yes. But
this one felt like real, organic, episodic storytelling. TV. This was to me like when people say pro wrestling is a soap opera, this is why. Because usually... You watch a soap opera and the acting is terrible, but the storylines, you know,
it makes sense.
They progress. They build on each other. Usually,
which is why we thought the Ambrose Rollins thing was going to work.
Yeah,
originally.
Usually in wrestling, storylines just kind of end.
Yeah,
the Jericho Michaels feud, it started from somewhere believable and it ended somewhere believable.
Yes, it did.
So you're right. Yeah, they started the thing with it was Michaels and Batista. And
Batista was upset with Michaels because, you know, he had retired his mentor.
He retired Ric Flair, man. I'd be pissed at him, too.
I wasn't.
How dare you?
Come on. Someone had to do it. And they had this match. And somehow Jericho made his way as special guest referee.
Yes.
I don't know how this happened.
I forget.
But he somehow managed to make his way as special guest referee. And during this match, Batista was about to kill Shawn Michaels. And Shawn Michaels had a little bit of a knee problem. Quote unquote.
Yeah.
And Shawn Michaels being Shawn Michaels had a last ditch effort and super kicked Batista and got the win.
He done pulled it out.
He did. And he said beforehand, all right, and Shawn Michaels has said this all throughout his career, he will do anything to win.
And the interesting thing for that was he tricked Batista. Obviously he tricked Jericho, but he also tricked the fans. And that's one of the things that I enjoyed most about how the storyline started is that Shawn Michaels was legitimately a dick.
Yeah, he was.
He lied to the fans.
He swerved the fans.
But the fans loved him so much that they were like, yeah, we're cool with that.
But I think it's because Shawn Michaels was honest. He did say, and you know, as I'm pointing out now, I will do anything to win.
By the way, when we were recapping Shawn Michaels' period between the Jericho feuds, we completely forgot to mention his epic encounter with the Hulkster,
yeah,
which I know you love so much.
Oh, Don't even get me started on the stupid feud.
I'm 100 years old, brother.
That was the best part of it, by the way. I'm 150 years old, brother. Larry King like. We also forgot to mention the feud with Angle, which is terrible.
You thought it was bad? I don't remember.
No, I mean, us not mentioning it is terrible.
Oh, yeah. I don't really remember much.
Arguably, the Vengeance match that they had was better than the WrestleMania match.
Yeah, I remember the WrestleMania match, and
just what great feud.
So anyway,
had his doubts, didn't he?
Jericho didn't trust that Sean's knee was broken. He had a hunch. And so
he did have a hunch.
They tag teamed. At this point, they were both baby faces.
Yes.
Jericho was in the middle of nowhere kind of guy, and Shawn Michaels was Shawn Michaels.
Shawn Michaels, yeah. And they had a tag team match against somebody, I can't remember who it was. And Shawn Michaels again feigned, he had another injury.
Yeah, he had a knee injury.
And super kicked and made an impact, and they got the win.
And they're like, how did you do that if you ever hurt knee? And he's like, oh.
I'm Shawn Michaels.
Yeah. And so they end up having a final confrontation, and Jericho apologizes and says, you know, I apologize that I accused you of faking. And Sean says, no, I'm actually not hurt. Then he super kicks him and everybody cheers.
And everybody cheers.
And he dances. That was the best part. He super kicked him and then he danced around to prove that his knee wasn't broken anymore or whatever.
Muhammad Ali style.
Shawn Michaels is awesome. So, yes,
Six days later at Judgment Day.
He made a fool out of Jericho. He also made a fool of the fans. And this
the fans didn't care.
Yeah, this is why I think this again was another normal match between them.
It was. Judgment Day was just and that's the thing Jericho says in his book. It was just meant to be one match.
Yeah, which is incredible considering what it's become.
Yeah, it was just meant to be one match, babyface against babyface.
Yeah, it was. And that's how it was. It was babyface versus babyface match. I don't really remember it. I just watched it a couple of days ago. It was very good.
It was very good. It was a short match.
Yeah, it was short, good. It was
what you'd expect from Chris Jericho and Shawn Michaels, to be fair.
It was a middle of the road pay-per-view match, and it wasn't supposed to go any further than that.
I think Jericho won. Oh, sorry, Shawn Michaels won. Sorry.
Shawn Michaels won. Yeah, that makes sense.
Shawn Michaels won. And the fans still cheered Jericho. It wasn't like they were booing him.
No, it wasn't until the next night that they would boo him. Oh, man. Yes. This is
and
you've
got to bear in mind, and I think people need to remember this also, just as a reference. That night on Judgment, they shook hands.
Yes.
It ended respectfully.
It did. So the next night, I guess the pretext was he brought him out to congratulate him, I suppose.
Yep.
And again, they're both baby faces, but Chris Jericho brings up the fact again. Yeah, he says, you lied to me, your friend, and you lied to the fans who support you, and then you super kicked me. So in effect, you lied to me, and then the fans also turned on me because they cheered for you. And I think there's also an element there that, like, you could also bring into it if you're interpreting this for yourself, where he's like,
if I did this.
Yeah, and he also felt betrayed because he came back and he had, like, this fiery return, and then the fans kind of stopped cheering for him.
Cheering, yeah.
And I think that was also a motivator. But anyway, he basically had the idea, the character, that he was just a guy, and he felt betrayed, and he had no other options. And so what is he going to do but turn heel?
And turn his back on everything, completely throw away the Y2J gimmick.
Oh, my God. First of all, he throws Shawn Michaels through the Geritron. The Geritron 5000.
Which, by the way, they planned ridiculously early.
Yeah, they tried real hard. That could have gone real. It could have gone real bad, and it could have looked real bad. And in fact, it did neither. It was perfect.
Shawn Michaels sold it really well. Went headfirst through the thing.
Took it like a champ.
Yeah.
So he put him through the glass. Turned heel. Starts that Jericho gimmick that everybody loves, where he just comes out and he talks slowly. He uses big
no
words.
No emotion.
No emotion. Big words. Basically, it was something that was very different in 2008 in wrestling. They weren't doing that yet.
And it was a Nick, and he referenced it in the book. It was what Nick Bockwinkel was doing.
Yeah, it was Nick Bockwinkel's thing. He used to do that in the AWA. Plus, he just watched No Country for Old Men, which was a really good movie with a really creepy dude in it. Jericho was being that guy. So he changed up his gimmick. Now you also have an added new element of Shawn Michaels' eye.
Yes, which I think they did really, really well, actually.
Imagine that today. The storytelling in WWE. If you have a match and the heel wins, The next night, they just have a rematch on Raw, so the babyface wins, and now they have to have another match at the pay-per-view. That's how they tell their stories today. For this, no. Jericho
the
did something.
The eye was a focus.
He did something dastardly. He almost put Shawn Michaels. He almost ended his career. He took his eye out.
And I think the point that Shawn Michaels is making. Okay, so you're saying the only reason it wasn't just because I lied. It's because everybody will remember me. That's why you're upset.
He's mad.
Even
about
if
that.
I'm gone, I could turn my back on this business now, and I'll still be remembered.
He'll still be Shawn Michaels.
He'll still be Shawn Michaels, and he said it a couple of times. You will never be me,
which is a fact. It is physically impossible
it's
for Chris
physically
Jericho.
Impossible.
Yeah, to be Shawn Michaels, they are not the same human.
Yes, but you know, I think he wanted. Basically, the point was he's not going to have the same sort of career as Shawn Michaels, which is fair.
That's,
to be honest,
that's true. Chris Jericho did not have the career that Shawn Michaels had. He had a good one,
even with 4 years off. Jericho.
Yeah, he had a good career. They both took some time off in the middle of it, but that's pretty much as far as the parallels go.
They'll go, yes. So, and then you get to the Great American Bash.
Yes. And, oh my Ooh. God. I love this match for completely different reasons, but this match and the Raw match from 2003 were my favorite.
Okay.
Because of just in terms of storytelling and psychology. So this match, the story is Shawn Michaels' eye. There's a lack of certainty if he's going to be able to come in and wrestle at all. But he does because he's Shawn Michaels, damn it. He's valiant and he's the heartbreak kid, for God's sake.
It's not like Shawn Michaels hasn't fought with concussions before, quote
That's
unquote.
Right. That's right. Damn it, he teamed with God once.
Exactly. He teamed.
He could do anything.
He's there.
So he comes
in. And they come out for 25 minutes. I'm telling you, this is a 25-minute match.
Really?
They kill each other.
They do. But then the last, 5 minutes... It's just Chris Jericho murdering Shawn Michaels.
I love the referee at this point as well. The referee plays a big part in this story.
The referee is so good in this. So you have Michaels at one point, he gets busted open above the eye. So he's bleeding into the eye. And so the referee immediately is going, Shawn, are you okay? Are you okay? This was very MMA. And this was before UFC really took off in 2010.
Yes.
So this finish was very well ahead of its time. So you had Jericho beating on Michaels forever, put him in the walls. He did a bunch of horrible things. I think at one point he threw him off the turnbuckle.
Off the turnbuckle, yes.
So that attacked the eye even more. And Michaels
smashed his head into the turnbuckle a few times.
And Michaels is pouring blood. But you can hear him. He's constantly telling the referee, don't stop it. Don't stop it.
And King's speculating, why would you do that?
Yeah.
The announcers played this up very well too, to be fair.
Shawn Michaels, God damn it.
In the end, the referee had to call it.
Yeah. So he beats him and he beats him and he beats him. And then finally the referee goes, no, you're bleeding too much. You're bleeding too much. I have to call this match off. And I remember at the time watching this match, I remember this got some backlash online because...
I genuinely didn't know what was going on. I genuinely thought he was injured.
Yeah.
I'll be honest with you.
This got some backlash online because, again, it was 2008. People weren't used to having this... type of finish in WWE. I think they used to do them in Mid-South sometimes.
Mid-South and the early WCW used to do it. You know, NWA.
Yeah, they used to. Yeah, you're right. They did used to do them in Jim Crockett.
The Horseman did it a lot.
Yeah, because you don't want to beat the Horseman.
Exactly.
So, but this you never really saw it in WWE. So I think people kind of reacted to that. But I thought it was just an excellent, excellent finish.
I don't think they would have done this in the Attitude Era, I'll be honest, because blood in the Attitude Era was a dime a dozen.
Yeah, I think it would have meant a lot less. That's true. So he beat him like a stuffed pig, and just a couple days later, Vince lays it down and says, there shall be no blood hereforth.
And I think it was because of this match, because the blood loss that Shawn Michaels... I'm sure there was more, but the way it looked...
It couldn't be for any other match. They bled a lot in this match. God damn, Shawn Michaels was great in this match. I know that's breaking news that Shawn Michaels was great in a wrestling match, but...
And he sold. Shawn Michaels selling?
Yeah, I know. And he took fantastic bumps.
Well, he doesn't stop there. This is Shawn Michaels.
So
they go to SummerSlam.
A new element. There's a new arc in the story now. Shawn Michaels has had such an epic rivalry with this son of a bitch, Chris Jericho.
Which, by the way, Jericho, if you think about it from a good guy, bad guy perspective, originally, just Chris Jericho had the moral high ground.
He did. That's another thing I love about this character. He's a heel. Like, we don't like him. But he thinks we're wrong. Like, he thinks he's right. And it's our fault that we don't like him.
Yeah. We're the hypocrites.
Yeah. We're the gelatinous parasites.
Yeah. I love the way he talked about all these things that he learned in the book. He didn't know how half these words meant.
Yeah. I love that he was such an over heel that people tried to fight him.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but that makes you worry about the WWE security, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's pretty goddamn old school, though.
I'm sure you read the part where someone threw a glow stick at him.
Yeah.
And he went backstage, he goes, "I'm not going out there again." Undertaker goes, "You're not?" "I'm not going out there again." "No, you're not going out there again." "I'm going out there again."
Is that really something?
Undertaker being there.
Is that really something you guys do in the UK? You guys sell glow sticks to throw at people?
It was a DX glow stick.
That sounds so European. Yeah, we're just going to throw glow sticks at you. Ah, yeah.
DX glow stick.
Prepare for brightness. Yeah.
Yeah, but probably a little kid got hit, didn't they?
Yeah, stupid kids.
Stupid kid. Forget health and safety. Stupid kid.
Stupid children.
Getting in the way.
So
are we gonna be throwing glow sticks at WrestleMania? No, kid.
I think we'll have streamers to throw.
There you go.
So now the new arc in the storyline, there's question as to whether Shawn Michaels will continue wrestling.
So many injuries.
And quite poetic that just like his friend Ric Flair, he might have to give it up in the same year. He might have to quit. He might have to retire. And
fast forward to August.
It's funny because Vince, according to Jericho's book, Vince wanted them to do the match at SummerSlam.
Yeah, they did.
And Shawn Michaels, in classic Shawn Michaels politicking, said, hell no.
Because he didn't want it. On this card in 2008, you had a Hell in a Cell match between Undertaker and Edge.
Yeah.
At Epic.
Where he was sent to hell.
He was sent to hell.
For 3 months.
And Shawn Michaels didn't want to play second field. You can understand that, to be fair, because this was one of the... Undertaker and Edge was a feud of the year candidate too.
Yeah, and they worked like Jericho and Michaels worked super hard in their last match. If I had bled as much as Shawn Michaels bled in the July show, I wouldn't want to come back and do it the next month either. I would want there to be more of a payoff to my angle than this.
Mm.
So instead, what they did was a retirement segment,
and it was really well done as well.
Yeah, I didn't get to watch this one.
Shawn Michaels basically announced his retirement, thanked the fans from the bottom of his heart, and then Jericho comes out.
Chris Jericho basically says, tell them the truth, Shawn. Tell them you're retiring because I made you retire.
Yes.
It was because of me.
I want you to go home and sit your wife down, sit your kids down, and tell them that daddy can't wrestle because of Chris Jericho.
God, this was so good. Again, this actually goes back... And I know WWE didn't do this on purpose, or the writers or whatever, but this goes back to the entire reason these two feud in 2003, because Shawn Michaels,
Chris Jericho,
Chris Jericho's jealous of Shawn Michaels and wants a legacy.
Pretty much.
Damn it. This is going to be Chris Jericho's legacy. He retires Shawn Michaels.
His own hero.
And he's going to be damned if Shawn Michaels doesn't let him have that.
But Shawn Michaels being Shawn Michaels is okay. I'll tell him, but you also tell your wife and your kids that you will never ever be Shawn Michaels.
And so he gets mad, and Shawn has his wife there.
Rebecca's there, yep.
And
bear in mind, just because Rebecca was in WCW as a Nitro Girl, she had never done anything.
I don't think she ever wrestled.
No.
And so Jericho goes to punch Shawn, and Shawn ducks, and he hits his wife, Rebecca. And
legit, by the way.
I remember I watched this live.
Yeah, me too.
And I was like, holy shit.
He actually hit her.
Yeah, because they did practice it backstage or whatever, and it was supposed to be a worked punch, but they both kind of shifted positions at the wrong moment, and he legit punched her in the face,
in the mouth.
Yeah, which is horrifying.
Shawn Michaels again somehow managed to stay in character.
Yeah, but he was I don't want to say it was good, but he hit her. And Shawn Michaels' reaction would have been the same, whether it was in character or not. He was like, holy shit, this dude just hit my wife.
He just hit my wife. And Jericho was trying to show that Jericho was legit in shock.
Yeah. It was Jericho who really had to stay in character.
Yeah.
But even Jericho, if he broke character, it would have been fine because he was like, in real life, if you hit somebody's wife, no matter how crazy you are, you hit somebody, you see her on the floor bleeding, you're going to be like, whoa, what did I just do?
What did I just do?
So I thought this was one of those things. This was the new arc in the storyline.
Great line from Rebecca backstage, though. Is that all you've got, Jericho?
Yeah.
Shawn Michaels was feeling guilty as it was, because he was like, yeah, I shouldn't have brought her into this.
So that next Monday now, you have a great reason for Shawn Michaels to not retire after all, Faraz.
Because Chris Jericho cuts the promo of his life, I think. Basically, he blames Shawn Michaels for everything. Blames the fans for the reason that Rebecca got hit. Because Shawn Michaels' ego just wouldn't let him admit that Chris Jericho put him out.
God damn it, Sean.
God damn it, you fans. Stop cheering this man.
Yeah, because of us. Our bad.
Sorry, Chris, Sean.
So they build to it, and yes, he's coming out of retirement because he wants to kick Chris Jericho's ass. And mind you, he came out of retirement for the next, like, year and, what, six
Two
months?
2 years, almost.
Yeah, almost 2 years. In classic Shawn Michaels fashion.
Yes, only Shawn Michaels can pull a retirement off.
You know what?
You know what's ironic about it, though? When he actually retires, he actually stays retired.
Only Shawn Michaels can retire, and every time he retires and comes back, he's better than he was before.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like if he comes back for some reason, he's going to be even better somehow.
He's going to be on Raw next week. He's going to be the best thing on Raw next week. Watch.
Yeah, we'll see.
Well, Ric Flair's there too, so you might disagree, but...
Ric Flair might be really drunk, though.
Yeah, Shawn Michaels doesn't do that.
That would be awesome if Ric Flair gets really drunk. All right, so...
but the thing about this match is, it's an unsanctioned match, which means the WWE will take no responsibility for what happens.
Yeah, it's like they used to do this, I think, in Charlotte, and they would do lights out matches, where they would actually turn the lights out, so the arena would go black, and then they would turn the lights back up to signify that the main part of the show is over.
Over, yeah.
And what you're seeing now is just two dudes fighting, and you happen to be there.
Yeah, and, you know, the cameras happen to be rolling.
Yeah, and there happen to be announcers and stuff. But other than that, it's a fight.
And Shawn Michaels had this match originally with Triple H, which was wonderful, by the way. If you haven't seen it, go back and watch it. The SummerSlam, his return match.
Oh, yeah, I watched that a couple months ago, actually.
Mm.
It was you, Otter. And,
what?
Nothing. All right, so they have this...
Was that a Triple H impression?
No, that was my Shawn Michaels impression where he just goes, it was you, Otter.
You're damn right it was me. Shawn Michaels did a lot of deep voice things in this feud, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
There's another added element that we forgot to mention. Chris Jericho's protege.
Ah, yes. Lance Cade. The late Lance Cade.
Late Lance Cade. Who was also taught and graduated from the Shawn Michaels School of Wrestling.
Imagine if you had used Bryan Danielson in this gimmick.
That would be awesome.
That would have been so cool. Lance Cade, by the way, of who... pretty much was the Marty Jannetty of the Cade and Murdoch tag team.
He was, wasn't he?
Did they have a name?
I think it was just Cade and Murdoch.
Cade and Murdoch.
I think they had, was it the world's greatest? No. Something like that, anyway.
Was it? I don't remember.
Yeah.
But anyway.
They had weird country music as their theme. It was very strange.
So Lance Cade was coming out and helping Jericho commit evil doings.
Shawn Michaels.
Because as he said, and you're right, this is a good part of the storyline. Every time Shawn Michaels was in a tag team, it was him who would, he would betray his partner.
Yes.
Which is a good point, a fair point. So Lance Cade says, well, I'm going to betray you first.
Nah, take that.
Even though I don't think they were really a tag team.
Tag team? And whatever. I don't think they ever would have been a tag team.
What, is Shawn Michaels just going to go around super kicking everybody that he taught?
Why not?
Like, he finds them. He has to look them up in the phone book. And then he goes in and super
kicks them. He had to wait an extra 5 years to kick Daniel Bryan.
Oh, those would be some great vignettes.
Shawn Michaels is going looking for his students.
Yeah, just super kick them. So he, like, goes on these adventures.
WWE Network, do it.
That's the payoff. It's like a whole half hour episode.
Yeah, he's just going around super kicking people. I wonder if Stan was one of his students.
He just kicks Stan.
But yes, this is an unsanctioned match. Now, right. The week before this unsanctioned match, they had a contract signing.
I don't remember this.
And obviously, with a contract signing, you got to have a brawl. Now, somehow, Jericho managed to get Michaels over the top rope, and Shawn Michaels he slightly tore his tricep, legitimately.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
So they were worried that the match couldn't go on, but Shawn, being Shawn, was like, yeah, this is going to happen.
Imagine not doing it. Like, imagine he really couldn't wrestle. Like, that whole
angle was
gone right before your huge payoff. And at this point, this was supposed to be the big payoff.
Yes.
and they went to Unforgiven, which was a B show even back then.
Very much a B show.
But they decided.
Although this one had a little bit of a special attraction because it was a night that the Scrambles were meant to happen.
Oh, God. I have bad memories of that, but mostly because they screwed
them. Let's not talk about the bad memories.
They screwed them! All right. So they go and they do the
unsanctioned match. Now, there's one thing that annoyed me about this sanctioned match. There wasn't anything to do with Shawn Michaels and Chris Jericho. It was a damn crowd.
I really didn't pay attention to the crowd.
They just seemed to not get into the match. It was like they were sitting there going, yeah, and like, hang on a second.
Well, they were like, you know, this match isn't sanctioned. Why should I care about it?
No! It's Chris Jericho and Shawn Michaels, for heaven's sake. But the match was very, very good.
Oh, the match ruled. They just
fought. It's a classic. It's a modern day classic.
They killed each other. Yeah, this is one of those modern day classics. This is just a great, great pay-per-view match. They brawled, they fought, they used every weapon you could think of.
Well, you had the element of Lance Cade coming out to... Because, granted, it's unsanctioned, so there's no DQ.
That's right.
And again, you know, the referee played a really, really big part in this match. Again.
Yeah.
Marty Elias, who I think is still employed by the WWE.
He tried his best, but you can't really enforce rules in a match with no rules, you know?
Yep. And the best part about this match was Shawn Michaels' emotion. Yeah. The emotions he evoked in this match were brilliant.
This is what I was talking about earlier. He's beating up Chris Jericho. He's just pounding on him.
And as in the eye.
And as he pounds on him, in just this unmitigated fury, he starts to weep.
He starts to cry.
And there are tears coming down his face. So here's this crazy man who is beating on this other man. And as he beats on him, he is crying because of all of the months of anguish that he has had to go through because of him.
But not only that,
he's
trying to figure out whether he will be able to forgive himself because of what he's doing.
Yeah.
Because and they kept paying up the religious aspect of this match, an eye for an eye.
Yeah.
And they referenced another passage of the Bible where he says the walls of Jericho will be broken down. Just everything seemed to work in this match. And there were some brutal spots in this match too.
Yeah, there were.
The steel chair shot to the skull and then Jericho went through the table, which went wrong, by the way.
Yeah.
Because he went headfirst through the table.
Ouch.
Shawn Michaels smashing him, just whipping him like a government mule.
With a belt. And yeah, they had everything in this match. It was really good. And then, yes.
We thought it was over, though.
Yeah, Shawn Michaels beats him. We have the big win for the valiant babyface. He got it in the match. As far as I'm concerned, the storyline pretty much ended there. But WWE realized this is an awesome rivalry. We can stretch it out, which is fine. That happens a lot in wrestling. And Jericho and Michaels, to me, is one of those feuds where
there was so much you could do with it. You could even do a role reverse and make Jericho face.
Yeah. And like, you knew after Unforgiven, you knew like, okay, they're just trying to like get everything they can out of these two. But you weren't upset about it.
No, you didn't care. It was always great. Yes. So later on in the night,
Chris Jericho,
as Des alluded to.
Yeah.
He was screwed.
Yeah, he was screwed, goddammit. So, yes.
CM Punk did get kicked in the head by Randy Orton.
Ah!
CM Punk doesn't forget, by the way, because he remembered this.
He got his revenge 3 years later. He waited 3 years. He waited all the way until Randy Orton turned babyface, and he turned heel. And then he got his revenge.
Then he took revenge.
Oh, wrestling sometimes.
They waited 3 years to pull that storyline out the bag.
One of the guys that helped facilitate this beating had left the company by this point, and CM Punk finally decides to get his revenge.
Oh, yeah, it was Manu, wasn't it?
Yeah, Manu. He was gone, and CM Punk got his revenge.
Legacy was like a year old at this point. They had finished.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Yes, but Randy Orton did kick CM Punk in the head, which, by the way, we wanted 3 years later. If they were going to write CM Punk, we didn't know what they were doing. But we thought Randy Orton was going to kick him, but he didn't. They had outlawed it by this point.
So, yes, Chris Jericho enters the championship scramble, and he makes sure to not shower or do anything. He comes out a bloody mess, just like he went in.
Pins Kane.
Yeah, because of course he does.
Because everybody pins Kane.
Everybody beats Kane at some point. Like Daniel Bryan's probably going to do tonight on the debut of SmackDown, or the return to SmackDown on Thursdays.
I'm not going to watch it.
Yeah, I probably won't either.
Yes, but yeah, so the clock runs out. He pins him just as the clock is getting to three.
Yeah, so they do that. And then the next night, the great general manager of Mike Adamly.
No, the greatest general manager of all
time. He says that he received a suggestion from someone for a spectacular match.
Did you say who the greatest general manager was?
What?
Did you say who it was, the greatest general manager of all time?
Oh, no. Mike Adamly. Sorry, I just thought it was assumed that everybody knew that.
What did Cena say a couple of years back? He's worked in many unsafe working environments. Yeah. He even worked through the Mike Adamly regime.
How long did that last, by the way?
2 months.
God, that was so bad.
It's terrible. Jeff Harvey.
Jeff Harvey. And he would always say, Jamaican me crazy, Kofi Kingston.
Oh, dear.
Which you can't say anymore because he's African now.
Yes, he's from Ghana.
Yeah.
New day.
He's Ghana kick you in the head? I don't know. You need something.
Yeah. He's all about the positivity now.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
He's like that black guy from Star Wars.
So the mystery opponent is, of course, Shawn Michaels, and the fans go nuts.
And they're going to have a match.
And Shawn Michaels says, I choose a match, Chris. It's going to be dangerous. It's going to be deadly. For some reason, I'm picking a match that you're better at than I am. Because I've won.
Yeah,
like,
you're picking a match that I've had one off.
Yeah, I've had one. You've had two, like 50.
Two, sorry.
What was the other one?
Both with Razor.
Oh, they had two of those?
Yeah, one at WrestleMania, one at SummerSlam in 95.
Oh, I didn't know they did one.
You've never seen the SummerSlam one?
No.
It's very good because they weren't allowed to use a ladder as a weapon.
What?
It worked. Believe me, it worked.
That's interesting.
Worth a look.
I might have to seek that out on the WWE Network, which you now have.
Well, I do.
Yeah.
I do. We'll talk about that on Monday.
Okay.
And if you want to spend some money on that particular match, go and buy the excellent Ladder Match Volume 1 DVD. Don't buy the second volume, though.
What's on that second volume?
Oh, God. Tracy Smothers versus Chris Candido.
Jesus.
From SMW.
All right, I've heard enough.
So, you don't want to know anymore?
No.
Okay.
All right, so then they go on.
There's even a match from OVW on there, by the way.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, Beth Phoenix versus Katie Lee. The excellent Katie Lee Burke Hill, by the way.
Yeah, what happened to her? Where's she now?
You leave her alone.
Yeah, that's right.
Winter.
So they go to the No Mercy pay-per-view.
Mercy pay-per-view. And this match had two classics on it. This one, the Shawn Michaels and Chris Jericho match, and Triple H versus Jeff Hardy. Great matches. Two great matches.
So they have the match. It's very good.
They
fight.
It's very backwards and forwards, isn't it, this match?
Yeah. My favorite spot was the end where they're both on top and they're fighting. And they're basically tugging, but they're not falling off their ladders. They just keep tugging the belt.
The belt comes unhooked.
And Shawn Michaels is actually using both his hands, which means like he's not hanging on to the ladder at all. It was awesome. And then Chris Jericho manages to win.
He headbutts him off.
Yeah, like a beast.
He headbutts him. And you know what's great about that finish? It had never been done before. So many ladder matches we've seen. We saw the Hardys hanging. We saw Jeff Hardy hanging from the thing. Not managing to... But never the belt coming unhooked and then like tugging at it. So whoever wins.
You also had the epic return of Lance Cade, who attacked Shawn Michaels at one point.
Yes, you did. And he got a sweet chin music for his troubles.
Yes, he did.
There's an awesome table spot as well, by the way. Where they both fell from the top rope through the table.
Not from the ladder. From the top
rope. No, not from the ladder. From the top rope.
Because these men are safe.
Yes. Not like that Jeff Hardy character.
No. They don't go swimming in Iraqi toxic lakes.
Toxic lakes.
So
nuts.
Yes. Chris Jericho is still your champion. And we think
it's over. You think it's over there?
Yeah. You think it's over again. This is like a techno song. You think it's over?
There's a breakdown?
Yeah. And then it just comes back louder than before. That's what I'm going to tweet Chris Jericho that. Your feud with Shawn Michaels is the techno song of wrestling.
The breakdown, and then it comes back up again. They bring the beat back up.
Yeah. They drop it. They drop the beat, as they say.
In between times, Chris Jericho gets a $5,000 fine.
Oh, yeah. Which Batista decides to pay.
Yes, because I think it was the night after, they have a cage match on Raw. I think we should explain this. And Vince McMahon was very, very serious about the fact that there was going to be no blood.
He said, there's going to be no blood, damn it.
If there's blood, damn it, there will be repercussions, damn it.
Then damn it.
Now, there are very few people that can probably bleed and not get into trouble. Then again, I can't say that because Triple H and Undertaker did it and they both got $50,000 fines.
Yes, they did. $50,000, by the way.
Each.
Very interesting.
Yes. That's for unprotected chair shots to the head, though, wasn't it?
That, yeah, that is what it was for. It wasn't for blood. But they're both pretty bad.
But yes, Batista decided to... I don't know how he did it. I think he must have bladed.
He must have gigged.
Because they had a spot at the top of the cage where Chris Jericho hit him in the head with a ring that he hid there somehow. I don't know how.
He's and a heel. He has... Maybe Lance Cade hit it for him.
Maybe he did. And when Jericho went... And then when Batista fell, somehow there was blood everywhere. And Chris Jericho got a little bit worried.
He said, oops.
Because Malenko didn't know what happened.
Right.
He was the agent. And the referee didn't know what happened.
Yeah.
Little Nate.
And so there was a ton of blood. And yes, in fact, they all got in trouble for it.
Vince wasn't a happy bunny.
No, he was not. He didn't even want to hear about it, damn it.
Yes, damn it. What did you were reading the Jericho, but what did he say that amused you about Vince McMahon?
Oh, this is a different thing, but he was, I think he texted Vince and he said
something about Iraq, wasn't it?
Yeah, he did something.
Oh, no, it was a European tour.
I don't remember exactly.
Yeah.
But he said, damn it, Vince, if I'm going to get in trouble for getting heat, then, you know, fuck you or something.
Yeah, he did say that.
And Vince texted him back, and he's just like, LOL, smiley face. Call me in the morning.
Take two aspirin. Take two aspirin and go to sleep, smiley.
And he's like, I can't imagine Vince McMahon sending somebody a smiley face. And that was in whatever it was, 2008. Imagine today with emojis.
I can imagine Vince sending lots of angry smileys at the minute.
The rating was bad, damn it. Sad emoji. Angry emoji. Pouting emoji.
I wonder what he sent when CM Punk broke the internet. I want to see a very angry smiley.
If anybody works in WWE, I don't want any gossip or any inside scoops. I just want to know, does Vince McMahon use emojis? That's all. That's all I need in life.
He never uses them on Twitter either, does he?
No, he doesn't. Imagine if that was really Vince on Twitter. Just went to my writer's meeting. Sad emoji.
Sad emoji. I'm sure Triple H to start doing emojis too with his man voice.
Oh, God. So anyway, you think the feud is over between Jericho and Michaels, but no.
And this is why Dez said there was an ending to this feud, because there was a definite ending.
Yeah, this was just like a throwback.
Yes, so after that match where Jericho wins the title, because he loses it to Batista and then wins it again, they have a last man standing match. Now, generally, I don't like last man standing matches.
Yeah, they are pretty boring. That's why I think boxing is boring, because you just...
Well,
you have the guy, and then there's a lot of counting involved. And
Dez doesn't like counting, you see.
Yeah, counting isn't fun for me. So this match,
happened on Monday Night Raw again.
It happened on TV again. Yeah, and it was in England. What's with Shawn Michaels and having great matches in England?
Have you ever seen the match he had with Bulldog in England?
No.
It's worth a watch.
I will make a note of it and watch it on the WWE Network.
Yes.
So, they have this great match, and they kill each other again, for free.
For free. For your pleasure.
For your pleasure. That son of a bitch, JBL, gets involved again, because why not?
Just starting the most convoluted, stupid storyline in the history of life.
It started this weird... This is the one that culminated with Triple H having to save him, right?
No. Well, Triple H tried to save him, but Shawn didn't want to listen. This is the one where apparently Shawn Michaels went bankrupt, and JBL had to bail him out.
Yeah, he had no money.
He had no money. Considering his best friend is like a part of the McMahon family, I don't see how that's possible. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. This was a stupid storyline. But that's not the one we're talking about. Thank God.
No, it is. That is... Well, no. We're not covering that rivalry.
We're not doing a podcast about that. Although that would be a fun podcast.
No, it wouldn't. It just makes me mad.
Where was the storyline where Shawn Michaels just stopped where he was working at the restaurant?
Oh, that was really a Triple H storyline. Triple H was having some trouble with Randy Orton and Legacy.
So why did
And there Shawn... was no one else to help him, so what did he do? Decided to reform D-Generation X.
Why was Shawn not there at the time? Was he hurt?
No.
He just wanted time off?
Yeah, he had that match with Undertaker, and we didn't see him again for 3 months.
Oh, 4 months. That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. God, what a way to come back from having the most epic match of all time with somebody. And then...
Doing a restaurant skit?
Work at a restaurant.
It's funny though. I don't know if anybody's seen it. You know, people complain about that DX reunion. I thought they had some really funny moments.
I thought it was funny, but I just thought it was just ridiculous. And it was in between two of the best matches of all time.
That isn't he's ever gonna have.
Oh man, they're like night and day. This company,
they really are. But yes, Chris Jericho retains the world title because of that stupid son of a bitch with JBL.
And again, even at that point, Michaels wasn't pinned. He was counted out because he was the last man standing.
Yes, and it wasn't like they made him look really weak. It took JBL hitting him twice.
Yeah. Damn, Jericho. So yes, Chris Jericho.
Let me ask you a question, by the way.
Yeah, go ahead.
Do you think this cemented Chris Jericho's legacy, this feud?
Yes, because up until that point, Chris Jericho was he basically hadn't evolved. He hadn't evolved since he came over from WCW. He was just that guy who yelled, and he yelled catchphrases, and people liked to chant along.
And he was having good mid-card matches.
Yeah. It wasn't until 2008 when he developed this new persona for himself, where A, it showed that he was versatile enough to come in and do this, and B, this completely different guy. But B, he was able to work, and this isn't a surprise to anyone, but he was able to work with one of the greatest wrestlers in the world in Shawn Michaels and tear down that house every time. And
yes,
and the most important part about this whole storyline is they had a different match every time.
Yeah, there was never the same match every single time. Mm-hmm. Even back in 2003, the WrestleMania match and the Raw matches were very different.
Yeah, they went from April to October, and not once was this a boring storyline. Not once was this like, oh my God, when are they going to have the blow off and end this? I remember I was watching regularly at this point, and I couldn't wait for the next week to see if Shawn Michaels could get his revenge on Chris Jericho.
Yeah, for me, there were two things that I was sitting watching in 2008 in wrestling. One of them was this, and the other one was that Jeff Hardy run, seeing when they were going to give him the title.
Yeah.
Raw was Shawn Michaels and Chris Jericho. SmackDown was Jeff Hardy. That's how it was.
And that was great. God, I miss those days. Because you also had, I think at one point, you also had Punk on SmackDown, who was a generic babyface and boring, but damn it, it was still Punk on SmackDown.
Well, no, remember they moved him to Raw at that point because he won the title from Edge.
Oh, yeah. I don't know what I was watching on SmackDown then. Maybe I was watching Hardy too.
You were a little bit of a, you were going through the Jeff Hardy thing with everybody, as with everyone else.
Yeah, I was. And I didn't turn on Jeff Hardy until he feuded with Punk.
Yes. Which, by the way, is a feud that we're considering.
We might do it. Depends on how we feel. The schedule is not finalized.
No. Well, it is for the next couple of months.
Yeah. So that is the first one, guys. That is Chris Jericho and Shawn Michaels, a feud that Faraz and I both agreed deserved its own podcast, and now it's got one.
Feud of the year. That's the awards it won. It won feud of the year. It won match of the year. I think it also made Chris Jericho superstar of the year in 2008.
Which
in
the WWE. That guy deserved that award.
By the way, as a heel, by the way.
Yeah. He's great. And I feel like even if he wanted to, he could come back and do that gimmick again.
Yes.
But it had
to be. Well, I think he did, kind of.
Well, with Punk.
With Punk, kind of.
And that would have been a great feud if they didn't bring in all that bullshit about the alcoholic stepdad or whatever they were doing.
Yes.
That was
there's a bit too much comedy in it with CM Punk and just like, yeah.
Yeah, it was very strange. Does he talk about that in this book?
Yes, I haven't got that far yet.
Okay, yeah, I haven't either. I'm interested to see what he thinks about that. Because they had a great, I remember the first, and we'll get out of here after this. They had a great first week where the basis was, you say you're the best, I say I'm the best. Let's have a match at WrestleMania. And it was.
And you know what really hurt them, that particular WrestleMania? They were sandwiched between two. One was a great match and one was an all right match. They were sandwiched between that Hell in a Cell, the end of an era one.
Yeah, and Rock and Cena.
And Rock and Cena.
Here's some of the things that went wrong with this feud. A, they felt that premise of, I think I'm good, I think you're, or you think you're good, let's fight at Mania and we'll find out. They thought that was too basic, so they brought in all this other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The thing they also did at WrestleMania, I think it was literally the day of WrestleMania 28, they announced that stipulation.
Yes, with
remember?
John Laurinaitis. Punk gets disqualified, he will lose the title.
And Jericho being a pro, he had to work in the idea of, all right, I'm going to get him disqualified. I got to get him disqualified. And that took away from what the match was supposed to be, which was them just wrestling.
Yeah, and I think that would have helped. I think it would have done a lot more for that, because the Chicago match was great. It would have, because obviously the crowd helped.
Yeah.
But I think that WrestleMania match needed some help, and they took it away from them by that last-minute switch, which is very irritating.
That felt so... To me, it just felt political, in the sense that, like, they almost didn't want Punk, and Jericho to an extent, but I feel like this was mostly against Punk, and they really didn't want Punk to have that match, that great match on
a Mania.
On a WrestleMania.
Unfortunately, they couldn't stop it, because he did have one a year later.
Yeah, with Taker.
Yeah.
So there you go. All right. That's it for this month on Throwback Vibes. I had fun.
I had fun too.
This was good. This flew by. I wasn't looking at my notes once, by the way.
Yeah, this is all done. Well, I do everything from memory, so.
Yeah. I like this format. This was fun.
It's one of, it's good because we're watching something we both enjoy. Because in previous Throwback Vibes, we've picked, even forget last year, even the ones before. Sometimes we pick shows that we were like, eh?
Like Wrestling Society X.
That was your idea, not mine.
It was my idea.
I'm going to point that out.
I regret it.
But sometimes, you know, and at the minute, it's just me and Dez. We don't have any guests on. So
we don't need them. They don't deserve to be nostalgic with us.
But, you know, sometimes we had to do, well, there's one particular TNA show we did. I'm like, oh, really?
Ah.
Was it the World X Cup or something?
Yeah, with, I forgot who won that.
No, I don't remember either.
It doesn't matter.
No one who's there now, by the way.
It's not like they went on to anything important in their career.
No. Should we tell them what we're doing next month?
Next month, what are we doing? I have no idea, actually.
We discussed this. We are doing a few that they've reignited in NXT.
Oh, yeah. That's next month. Yay!
A few that they've reignited in NXT. We are doing the few that started, what, 2010?
2009.
Sorry, 2009. And went all the way through until Generico left.
Yep.
Generico, a.k.a. Sami Zayn.
The leader of Sami Zayn and the Zaniacs.
Zaniacs, yes.
By the way, and I know this is a conversation for Monday, but we already missed it. Have you gotten a chance to watch that Sami Zayn promo?
No, I'm going to watch it in a minute with the network.
Okay, go up to there, watch that, and then tell me that Sami Zayn is not the future of that company.
Okay.
He is just too goddamn good.
But we'll talk about that more on Monday.
Sami Zayn versus Kevin Owens, a.k.a. El Generico versus Kevin Steen next month. A feud that not only went a year in Ring of Honor, but it spanned other companies across the world. They took that feud. This was like indicative to me of what the territory system was like back in the day.
Mm, yes.
When you had a feud that was so successful in one place that it went somewhere else. And just on the draw, not just of the characters, but of the two, like of the conflict.
Between these two.
Yeah, that's what drew people in. And so, yes, we'll talk about that next month. Ring of Honor has a two-disc set. With just
so we'll be mainly focusing on the Ring of Honor feud, I'm assuming.
Yeah, and I'll talk a little bit about some of the stuff they've done in PWG and other companies. And we might even have a guest, depending on if we can make times work.
Indeed. So but that is the feud for next month. And we're not going to tell you what's happening in March.
No, March is going to be special. That's all we're going to say.
Very special. Especially for me.
Special. Especially for Faraz, if you know who his favorite wrestlers in the world are.
Yep.
All right, so let's wrap. On Twitter, at Dez Delgadillo, at The Wisp. And subscribe on iTunes, leave us a review, use the Amazon link, go back and listen to the other podcasts that we've done so far, and we'll
I recommend,
yes,
and I don't know if it's still up there, I recommend the FWA show.
It is still up there.
Yes.
Go listen to that one. That one was a lot of fun. And
listen to the Bash at the Beach 2001, whatever you do.
We either had Greg on for that one.
No, it was Simon Rothstein for that one.
Oh, that's right. It was Simon Rothstein. That was great. So go listen to that. And if you don't go listen to those things, well, then Faraz has got two words for you.
Piss off.